Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
All right, Elizabeth, you told the story about the boy who's worried about where he's going to live, and he asked his dad, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How does the father answer him?
The father says, son, you don't have to worry about that. I'm taking care of it. I'm providing for you. And so this is, you know, don't worry about it.
So children are not supposed to worry because the father provides for the child, right?
That's right. And it was interesting to see this little child so anxious about this, you know?
Yeah. Well, having raised children myself, I understand that. And of course, as the father, I love to provide for my children. Now, of course, you know, they're adults now. And so we're empty nesters, Gail and I are. But still, I loved the idea of being able to provide for my children. I adored the idea of buying things for them and providing for their food, their needs, their physical needs.
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting because Matthew indicates that the cure for anxiety is to understand what it means when we say our Father.
Our Father.
You know, that God is our Father.
That's right.
So why don't we go there, still on the Sermon on the Mount, and we start
Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read this beautiful prayer that Jesus has given to us. And this is how he tells us to pray. In fact, verse 9, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
See, it's interesting that he uses this plural.
Yes.
It's not only that God is Jesus' Father, that he's our Father.
Father
in plural.
So, and that means all of us, everyone on the face of the earth, we can call him Father. Now, the other thing I like about this is that it says our Father in heaven. Now, there are three words that are used that are translated as heaven. One has to do with the air we breathe, and then that's called the heavens. Mm-hmm. Then another has to do with the starry heavens,
that's
all right?
Mm-hmm.
The third heaven is that heaven where God the Father lives. Mm-hmm. The most commonly used of those three is the one that has to do with the air we breathe. Therefore, we can assume that this prayer says, our Father who is as close to us as the very air we breathe.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
Always present. By the way, what can you do to get away from the air you breathe?
Nothing. No matter where you go. Actually, this is something Scripture keeps talking about.
That's
no matter
right.
how far you go, you can't get away from God.
The Father is always there. He loves you. He cares for you. And you cannot get away from Him, even if you want to.
That's right. So
He is ever present.
This is the beauty about this prayer.
That's right.
Is that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, like right here in my daily life.
But notice who's doing those things. It's the Father, right?
That's right.
He makes the provisions.
That's
Father,
right.
We're asking Him, Lord, make your kingdom come.
That's right.
Lord, make your will be done here on earth just as the same as you do it in heaven, because you're the one who provides these things.
Yes, and then we go to verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the beauty about what a father does. He provides for his children.
Mm-hmm.
His children ask the father.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually the introduction to the rest of the chapter that will come about anxiety.
That's right.
You know, we have it in verse 25, which start talking about anxiety.
You know, I grew up in a home where mom and dad always worked, and where at least they made wise enough decisions that we always ate. That meant that I never worried about where I was going to live.
And you are very well fed, Mike.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth.
No, I'm just kidding.
You just slammed me horribly.
Well, let's keep going.
Okay. Yeah, you want to move on, don't you? You want to forget that you even said that.
That's right.
But still, as a child, my father did make sure that I ate plenty, and that was the good news. I never worried about those things.
That's right.
I never worried about any of it. We were not particularly rich, but I didn't know it.
That's right. And it makes you wonder, why is it that we worry about these things?
Yeah.
You know? And if we have a father that is not just an earthly father, but a heavenly father that is omnipotent, why do we worry? So verse 25 talks about this.
That's right.
Do you want to read it?
Sure. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes?
And then it says, look at the birds in the air.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sow, they don't reap, nor do they reap, or they don't gather in barns either. And yet your heavenly Father, here we have the word again.
Again, back to Father.
Yeah, He feeds them. And are you not worth much more than the little birds?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then he's going to start talking about, don't worry about this, don't worry about that.
That's right.
I mean, God knows. So let's take it on verse 31.
Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Yeah, see, this is the point about salvation, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, salvation is provided by God.
That's right. It's a gift.
It's a gift. You know, it's a gift of our Father that mm-hmm. has provided the Son as the way in which we're saved. In the same way that we find peace for our daily needs is the way we find peace for salvation.
That's right.
God is our goel. Remember we talked about being
the kinsman redeemer.
Yes, he's the closest of kin.
That's right.
He is the provider.
That's right.
You know, and he says, look, I know your name. I've called you. I know who you are. I named you.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you're going through, I'm going to provide for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to some of these places in the Old Testament where he talks about God being our kinsman redeemer, our provider, and our Father.
All right. Where do you want to go first?
Well, let's go to the prophet Isaiah.
Isaiah chapter 43.
Yes. Well, Isaiah is the one that uses this term goel that mm-hmm. we've been talking about, the kinsman redeemer.
The closest of kin, the next of kin is God our Father.
That's right. And Isaiah constantly uses this name for God, and it uses it as a noun or as a verb. So sometimes mm-hmm. God says, I have redeemed you. I have goeled you.
That's right.
Okay. So
it says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have goeled you, right?
That's right.
He's
I have
our goel.
Mm-hmm.
I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine.
Yeah, and it says, even if you're going through rough times, look at this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with
you. That's right.
And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scourged. And it says, why? I am the Lord, your God, your Savior.
Your Savior.
You know,
that's right.
So God always says, look, I'm the one that provides for you. I am your kinsman redeemer. I am your goel. I'm the mm-hmm. one that has your best interest in mind.
So why do we worry?
Yeah.
There's really no need for it because, and truthfully, as Jesus said back in Matthew 6, he said, who by worrying can add a cubit to your stature? You know,
yeah.
You can't make yourself taller by worrying.
Yes. You know, when I saw this little child asking the Father, where are we going to live?
Yeah.
You know, as if he could do something.
That's right. That's right.
You about know, it. Yeah.
How can I help solve this? Well, yeah, right. You're going to do this, aren't you? How old the boy was he? 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, yeah. He's very young, you know,
yeah.
And you're like, you shouldn't be worrying about that.
The dad says,
look, I'm taking care of it, okay?
Yeah,
so you just enjoy the flight.
I will provide.
That's right.
Just relax.
You know, it's interesting that this figure of father and son is not just in the New Testament. This comes from way before
mm-hmm.
in the historic books when, remember, we've been going back and forth in 2 Samuel 7 when God makes a covenant with David.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells him, I'm going to take care even of your son because I'm going to be a father to your son. You know, he's talking
to
David. So
I will father your son.
Yeah, so let's go over 13 and 14 and then whatever we want to go, 16 maybe.
All right. So. Verse 13, it says, he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. This is God talking about Solomon.
Yes.
I'm going to be his father. I'm going to take care of him.
Yes.
And verse 14, I will be his father, and he will be my son.
Yes.
When he does wrong, I will punish him
mm-hmm.
with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men, but my love will never be taken away from him.
Yeah, that's a beauty. See,
when
you're in difficulties, he says, but remember this, just because you're going through hard times doesn't mean I don't love you.
That's right.
And then it says, verse 16, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. And we already discussed this as how it becomes true in Jesus, right?
That's right.
But I love the father-son figure. There were
mm-hmm.
two ways in which God talked about this in the Old Testament. He was the father of Israel. So
mm-hmm.
he always says, remember, out of Egypt I call my son in chapter 2 of Matthew.
Right.
But also he called himself the father of the representative of Israel. So
mm-hmm.
the king, the Davidic king, was always God's son.
God's son.
Yeah.
In fact, they were also kind of decreed or thought to be co-regents.
That's right.
Is the king, David, mm-hmm. was a co-regent with God the Father.
Yeah,
God
he was a mediator
father.
Of
right.
God to the people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, a king, when his son became of age, was to be a co-regent with the son in order to teach him
right.
how to be a good king.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, he would be a kingmaker himself. So basically, this picture of a father is seen not only in God being the father of Solomon, but Solomon then being the father of his own son, preparing him
That's
for
right.
the kingdom.
And I think this idea of God being our Father, and I understand that not all of our listeners, when we talk about fathers, they get a good picture of God.
No, for some people, that is an abusive name.
Yes.
Or it's an absent name.
Yes.
A father who is absent, a father who is abusive, a father who never approved of you, who was cruel. And so it's a difficult thing for them to pull this together and say, all right, the Father is a good picture.
That's right. And see, perhaps Matthew 6 will help you with that, because it says specifically, I'm the type of father that knows your needs. Provides them. I mean, I'm the real thing, says God. I know all your needs, from the daily needs to your salvation needs. I mean, I know that you're like a little child trying to save yourself. Mm-hmm. And he says, relax, don't be anxious. I have saved you.
I'm the one who's taking care of this.
Yes.
You know, I remember going over a passage like this with someone who said, I just cannot envision a father, because my father was so not what God is describing
That's
here.
Right. That's
and
right.
so my task for that person was this. I want you to envision father being the very best thing you could possibly think. I want you to imagine to your heart's desire, your wildest dreams, what could a father actually do for you? And when you've got that down, I want you to multiply it by a million. And you've just scratched the surface of how good your heavenly Father is.
That's right.
He's the Father you've always wanted, you've always needed, you've always known you should have.
And not only does He provide your salvation as a sure thing for you, so that worrying about it.
That's
through
right.
Jesus Christ, salvation is for sure. But He also cares about your daily needs.
That's right. Our Father cares for our needs, He cares for our salvation, and He will not let us down.
Oh, Father, Thy kingdom come.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.